Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Shalom, shalom, Rolene. How are you this afternoon?
Good, thank you yourself. And I'm sure along with quite a number of very, very happy, relieved parents in Israel today.
Well, let's talk about that because you are in the middle of a pandemic. The numbers are creeping up significantly and yet you sent 2.5 million kids back to school.
Yes, so today 2.5 million kids armed with their own do-it-yourself testing kits, I kid you not, and masks headed back to school. I think the rationale behind this is that their routines, their mental health, their growth, their social growth has really been stunted because of the pandemic. And they sent back with no guarantees that schools will stay open. But I think that there is a push to try and get as much normality for them as possible. So back to school they went this morning. Lots of images of them being tested before they went inside. And, you know, we hope that it lasts. There were some schools where teachers weren't tested and the schools did not open or refused to be tested. So, you know, along with opening, we are taking, or the education ministry rather is taking every conceivable precaution and trying to overcome every conceivable challenge to make sure that there is some kind of sense of normality.
Related to that issue, what is the Israeli government doing in respect of people who don't want to be vaccinated? Would, say, an unvaccinated teacher be allowed into the classroom?
Well, there are schools that have said if you're not willing to be vaccinated, please don't show up. One of them happens to be a Haredi school. This was put out by one of the Rabbonim who said, you know, if you as a teacher are not going to get vaccinated, please don't come back to the school.
All right, let's move on to politics. Apparently, Yair Lapid, your foreign minister, had some strong words for the United States. Haven't seen that. Tell me what I missed.
Yeah, so this was quite a surprise. You know, he has come in as quite a strong foreign minister. He's not one to mince his words, no matter who you are. He's definitely, if I phrase this for want of a better word, putting an Israel first policy in place. He's not shy to take on big controversies. We've seen it with Poland. You know, there's been a lot of discussion and debate. Has his very, very, very hardline stance in response to the restitution law initiated by Poland, will that permanently damage bilateral relations between the two countries? You know, and today, weighing in on the situation in Afghanistan, he says that the U.S. pullout, he says, might have been the right move, but it was done all wrong. You know, it's very unusual for the ally of the United States. It's always sided without any kind of criticism, perceived or not, to say something like that. He also spoke about the reopening of the U.S. Consulate in Jerusalem as the de facto mission to the mission to the Palestinians. And he says, we think it's a bad idea, and we've told America we think it's a bad idea. He says it will send the wrong message not only to the region, not only to the Palestinians, but also to other countries, and we don't want this to happen. This was an issue that was raised in the meeting between Prime Minister Bennett and President Biden on Friday. So, yeah, very, very vocal, very strong foreign minister in the form of Yair Lapid.
I'm not sure if Gaza is considered in the purview of a foreign minister or not, but there's fourth nights of rioting, and this while Israel is allowing more goods in. I'm not understanding this.
Let's just talk about the foreign minister and what he has said with regards to Gaza. And he's basically said, you know, all we want is calm, and calm will be met with calm. However, you know, we also have to take guard that we don't want to have a humanitarian disaster on our doorstep. So while we have had riots, I just want to stress that, you know, they haven't been violent riots. Yes, we have seen the burning of tires and explosives being thrown, but we haven't seen anybody severely injured. In fact, the Palestinian Health Ministry said one Palestinian moderately injured. So we haven't had any major injuries. despite the horrific and tragic death of Barel Shmuli, who passed away on Monday, just 9 days after he put up a very, very valiant fight after being shot at close range in the head. But we haven't seen it escalate from then. And I think, you know, the army's weighing very carefully what kind of response. I think they're taking a measured response, a standard riot gear, standard, you know, tear gas, should things get out of hand. There is an investigation underway as to the circumstances surrounding Staff Sergeant Shmuli's death. You know, why were protesters or rioters able to storm that border wall so quickly and so easily, and to attack him at such close range? That is being investigated and spoken about. But at the same time, we also want to relieve the humanitarian burden by allowing for more goods to enter the strip and expanding the area, the nautical miles, where fishermen can fish.
Did Prime Minister Naftali Bennett really get the deceased sergeant's name wrong when he phoned the mother? Was that fake news?
Not fake news. I tell you what is fake news. I know that there is a picture of President Biden sleeping in his meeting with Naftali Bennett that has been emphatically denied as fake news. That did not happen. He was not sleeping. But unfortunately, the Prime Minister did confuse the name of Barel with his father, and that offended the family terribly.
Yeah, needs to up his game there, that's for sure. And kind of related to that is Biden hailing the withdrawal from Afghanistan as an extraordinary success. How did he turn that abject failure into this extraordinary success?
Well, this is what everybody wants to know. You know, the whole world has looked on with horror, and you know, if you listen to a lot of military personnel, there are conflicting opinions. Some say yes, it was time to get out. The how that it was done was just not what should have happened. Many others say that there should be some kind of force. A lot of people critical of the way that he's exited, his unwillingness to engage the media in any kind of Q&A, which is very, very, very disturbing. But you know, the world is looking at this and shaking their heads. You know, there's the hardware, the military hardware that's been left behind for the Taliban and other actors like ISIS-K, you know, to take up. Despite the fact that the US Army disabled most of their helicopters or whatever, there's still munitions, there's still drones, there's still technology, there's still money left behind. We're hearing more and more from the Secretary of State or the State Department, from the Pentagon, from the military echelon, leaking to US media saying, you know, we warned him this shouldn't happen. There was an expose in one of the big papers, the Daily Mail, saying that, you know, he pushed, Biden pushed to say, you know, we need to give the illusion, even if it's not true, that the Taliban will not take over. So this is something we're going to be talking about for a long time. Many in the Republican Party calling for his impeachment, many in the Democratic Party calling for an investigation. The person I wouldn't want to be right now is President Biden.
As you're talking, so I'm seeing the picture in my mind of the body flapping underneath the landing gear of a plane that had just taken off, and I'm wondering how on earth one can turn that into a victory. But hey, that's just my take on that particular issue. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so much. We leave it there, and you and I will end the week together tomorrow.
We absolutely will, and happy spring day, people. I mean, we even got like half a breeze here to signify the beginning of stuff, which is autumn. But yeah, you and I doing this again tomorrow.
We will indeed.